Good morning. It's good to be here. A lot of familiar faces, and I'm glad that he didn't say I'm a true Brazilian because I am almost a redneck. I'm learning how to be a redneck, learning how to speak Georgia English and English, so I ask your patience. And I just want to really just share a little bit about Brazil and what God did in my life. And Brazil is a really tolerable place. Like, we have all kinds of religious expressions in a big city like mine. There is 3.5, 4 million people. So my family, they were spiritists. And they believe, in spiritists, they believe in reincarnation. And they believe that the spirit evolves. So that was the kind of background that I grew up. And when I was 10, we were going on a holiday to my grandmother's city, and a semi-truck hit us right in front, and our car spun, and another car hit us again, and my father died in the accident. My mom, my brother, my two sisters, they got hurt in the accident, and I had to spend 2 months alone in the apartment. I had to learn how to cook, how to ride the bus, how to pay the bills, sign my report card for the school. That was nice. And I had to learn to do everything. And when my mom came back, she said, I need you to take care of yourself because I got to take care of your brother and two sisters. And that's what I did. I tried to be the best in everything. I got the message. Don't create any more problems. So I try. If I was playing soccer, I'll be the captain of the team. I'll do the best in everything. And in Brazil, you have a really hard test to get in college. So everybody studies really hard to get in college. And when I got in college, you don't pay. And in federal universities, and a lot of parents here are like, oh, you don't pay. Maybe we should move to Brazil or something. But when I got in college, I was like, well, that's it. I prepared my whole life to be here. Now that I'm here, do what? So I got in trouble, like most of college students do. When they don't have purpose, they don't have a goal. That's what I did. I used to race cars, fight in parties, and everything. When I met my first CCP, and that was the first time somebody talked to me about a relationship with God. But I didn't get really involved. I didn't want to know a lot. And then the second CCP that I met in 2003, I became a Christian. And God put in my heart a desire to see and to help college students to make godly decisions towards to create godly families and families that will be different than mine. And that was my vision. And in Brazil, they usually say that I have the gift of miracles. I pray and a miracle like my wife happens. So they say that I have the gift of miracles. So it's really nice to be married with Michelle because everybody at the campus, they want to hang out with me because she knows how to cook brownies, pancakes, cookies. And we don't have that in Brazil, so everybody's crazy about it. Even the guys that went last year, they were crazy about the hamburgers and the brownies that Michelle cooked. So it's really nice, but really is. We have a vision to reach college students. We just moved to a new campus, and it's a private Catholic university. And we are really excited what is going on there, and excited to have the CCP team this year. So we can explore more the campus and see more what we can do and be there. But that's a part of our lives, and we'd be glad to talk more about Brazil. I love talking about Brazil, about the food especially. And you can ask anything, so we'll be here. And if you want to talk more, we'll be glad to. And thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. That's right. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in verse 22. And I'm going to go as long as I can concentrate. Many of you may not know, but I was working in my yard, getting trees out of my yard, and I didn't see the vine of either poison oak, sumac, or ivy. It probably may have been all three. Now I've got it all over. And so it's been a very difficult week to concentrate because I'm trying to use all my concentration so I don't claw myself to death, trying to scratch poison ivy. And I know I've probably already made some people itch just starting now. But anyway, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit this morning. And it's going to take several weeks to get through this. I really don't want to rush this because there is a great deal that we need to grasp on what it means to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and to experience the fruit of the Spirit. There's a lot that goes on about the Holy Spirit. And what's really sad is I think the controversy that has developed in the church over the years has taken the emphasis away from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It has really made it all about gifts. It's made it all about speaking in tongues. It's made it all about what the Bible really doesn't emphasize. Because the Word of God emphasizes the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you look at the teaching in Paul's epistles, what you find over and over again is what Paul is trying to teach us to have is godly character. He's trying to help us to understand that what Christianity should do, what a relationship with Jesus should do, is transform us. And let me say, part of that is having the relationship with God the Holy Spirit and enjoying fellowship with God the Holy Spirit and experiencing all that God the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. But the thing is, what He does is He transforms us. He transforms us from ungodly people into godly people. And it is by His grace and it is by His work that He does this. Now, what I find amazing is you got people thinking that the whole reason the Holy Spirit has come is just simply the power issue. And let me say, the Word of God does give us promises that we will have power to be a witness for Christ. There are acts of power and works of power that come about and given to God's church by the Spirit of God, but they are actually given for the common good, not for the individual blessing. And so when we look at this passage and we start realizing that there's a great deal said to us here. In fact, there's a great deal that's been said all the way through chapter 5. In fact, if you want to have a basic title for chapter 5, it's this: Walk by the Spirit. And yet, not once in this passage do we find the issue of power or power works mentioned, but we find overwhelmingly throughout the passage what's being taught to us is turn away from sin and turn unto Christ and have the wonderful fruits of the Holy Spirit produced in your lifestyle, produced in your character, produced in who you are, so that God makes you a marvelous example of what Christ should be to others. Now, before we get started, I want to share with you something that and it was something the Lord just really taught me years ago, and it really transformed my understanding of sharing the gospel. It transformed my understanding of what God wants me to be as I go out in the world. Now, God has prepackaged inside of every tree a way for that tree to multiply all over the place. And you know, most folks, when you go, because of our society, we've boiled it down to planting a seed. And honestly, most folks don't even plant a seed. You go to the nursery and you get a tree that's 2 or 3 years old, okay? But the way God packages His ability to multiply things is with seeds. And every tree has a seed that bears more trees of that kind. Now, here's the amazing thing. When we start talking about an apple tree and a pear tree and all these various trees, how does God package the seeds? He packages the seeds inside of, say it with me, fruit. Now, here's the amazing thing. If I were to walk up to somebody with a bunch of apple seeds and say to someone, hey, these are awesome. If you'll put these in the ground and plant them, over time, you're going to wind up having this tree that will feed you. And they're going to look at the seeds and they're going to go, those? You see, the way God packages the seed is in the fruit. What you do is you hand somebody an apple. And they take the apple and they go, what's this? You know, if they've never seen one before. And you say, that is an apple. And they go, wow. I said, you can eat it. It tastes really good. And so you don't give them a Granny Smith first time around because, you know, they may not like something sour. So you give them a good, red, delicious apple. And they bite into the apple, and all of a sudden, like, juice is running down the side of their face, and they're chewing, they're going, oh my word, this is awesome. This is an amazing thing. And they start eating the fruit, and they enjoy the fruit, and they're enjoying the blessing of that fruit. And that fruit is just blowing their mind about how good it tastes. And then they say to you, how can I get some more of this fruit? Then you point them to the seed. What I'm afraid that we're doing far too often in American Christianity and Christianity in general is this. We're pelting people with seeds. I don't know about you, but if somebody came around and pelted me with seeds, I would get annoyed after a while. Anybody? Anybody with me? People just come to you and say, hey, here's some seeds. And you get pelted with seeds. And you know, the amazing thing is it works. The way God packages seeds is inside of fruit. What the Lord is desiring for us to do. And I believe what Paul is teaching here in Galatians, and it's really taught in every single one of the letters, is this. Relate and have that relationship with Jesus to where your life is being transformed. Have that relationship with Almighty God, and that involves God the Holy Spirit. Learn to live by the Spirit. Learn to walk by the Spirit. And what you begin to experience is God begins to manifest by His power at work inside of you fruit. Your lifestyle changes. Your character changes. The way you treat people changes. The way you deal with problems in life changes. All this marvelously by the grace of God begins to transform in your life as you abide in Christ. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. So that when you go out and share your faith with people, you are not just merely pelting people with seeds. But in everything you do in your life, in the way you respond with your family, in the way you respond at your workplace, in the way you respond in the world in general, you're handing out as much fruit as possible through the godly lifestyle and through the selfless, holy lifestyle that God would grant you. And you're just handing out fruit right and left. And what happens is as people begin to see the fruit of a transformed life, they're going to start asking about the seed. Now, I'm not saying avoid sharing Christ. I'm saying share Christ every chance you get. But share Christ not only by your words, but by your actions and by your lifestyle. And what happens is when people begin to see the grace of God at work in you, when they begin to see the transformation that happens, when God the Holy Spirit begins to get a hold of a person's life, they're going to want to know about the Christ that you serve. They're going to want to know about the seed that created this inside of you. And saints, I believe that's what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. I believe that God is wanting to package the seed of the gospel in a life that is so transformed and so represents Jesus Christ that what happens is it makes people hungry for wanting to know more about the seed because they see the character and the change in our lives. That is what the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I believe, is all about. Look at verse 22. We were talking about the contrast. Going back all the way to verse 16, Paul says, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Then he tells us there's a war going on. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. So we find we're supposed to walk by the Spirit. We find out there's this war going on between flesh and spirit. But it says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You see, if we try to transform ourselves, all we've got is a list of rules. And all we can try to do is try to obey a list of rules. But what God wants us to have is not a list of rules by which we're transformed, but a relationship with a person. That we have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, and we're walking that out. Then Paul goes on to say, Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. They're obvious. And he goes through an entire list. That's what we did last Sunday. And he shows what the flesh looks like. When a person is living out of their flesh, when they are living out of themselves rather than out of what God has given them by His Holy Spirit, that's what it looks like. Sensuality, immorality, you know, enmity, strife, all those incredible things, that huge list of stuff in verses 19, 20, and 21. But then in verse 22, it all switches when Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And so what we have here first, and what we need to look at verse 22, is that word but. It's a transition word. Paul is saying, look, here is the contrast. The contrast is the acts of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And so Paul brings about this contrast. He says, look, this is what it looks like when you live in your flesh. This is what it looks like when you live out of the Spirit of God. And we need to grasp that, saints. We need to understand that when we rely on ourselves, when we draw out of our own resources, all we're going to manifest is the acts of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh. And as we saw last Sunday, it's almost like there's a mechanism inside of us. There's this thing going on inside of us because we're fallen, that if we live out of that fallen nature, if we live out of that fallen aspect of strength, instead of relying on God and living for the Lord God, living out of what God provides for us, those acts are going to be what are clearly seen in our lifestyle. Then Paul gives us the wonderful good news. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and we see that list, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Then he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, that's what we're going to cover over the next several weeks, those verses. But what I want to start with is just simply this. How does fruit work? That's the first thing we probably need to grasp. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, how does fruit work? Well, I've got two things that I'm going to try to cover this morning. Life versus mechanism. Fruit is defined, okay, in this way. It is the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, there's something going on as a result of the Spirit of God being active in our lives. The word fruit there is just simply the Greek word karpos. It just means piece of fruit. But the concept here is this. He talks about the deeds of the flesh, and it's almost like the outworking of the flesh. It's almost like there's a mechanism going on inside of us when we live out of the flesh. And let me say, it's a mechanism of death. All it does is minister death. All it does is manifest death. It shows us that we're dead spiritually. We're dead in our transgressions and sins. But, he says, the fruit of the Spirit. And here's what I want you to grasp. Yes, there is a mechanism that will be at work if you're living out of your flesh. But what God wants us to live out of is not ourselves and our flesh. He wants us to live out of His life, out of the power that He provides by the Holy Spirit. And He says, the fruit of the Spirit. Guys, fruit comes about because of life. And it comes about because we are experiencing and we are sharing the life of God because of the grace of God given to us in Jesus Christ. You want to know how fruit is produced? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Let me ask you this. Is there any way that we could go out and put a plant together and then out of the end of that plant have a Macintosh apple or you know, just make it a big apple plant. Just have one row where it's coming out Granny Smith, and you got another one coming out that's Red Delicious, and you got one over here that's Macintosh apples, and you got all these wonderful apples coming out. Can we do that? And the answer to that is no. The only thing that can produce fruit is a living fruit tree. Now, the same thing is true in the spiritual realms. The only way that you will experience the fruit of God's Spirit is if you are born again and God has placed His life inside of you. You bear fruit through the Holy Spirit. You have the fruit of the Holy Spirit because you have been given life by God through Jesus Christ, through the gospel, and that life, you are learning to cooperate with that life that is in you by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And as you cooperate and you have a relationship with God in that way, your life, catch this, it's so important, will bear fruit. Folks, it's just simply this. If you want to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit coming forth from your life, then grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Then begin to learn to abide in the person of Jesus Christ. Begin to learn to abide in the ministry and what God does through His Holy Spirit. Learn to remain there. Learn to stay there. Learn to draw your life from those sources, not from the sources of the world. There are people out here this morning, I know that you're going to say, Pastor, just make it simple. Give me a 1, 2, 3. I'm not sure it's that easy. I'm not sure you can give a 1, 2, 3. But I can tell you this, if you're manifesting the fruit of the flesh, if you're manifesting the deeds of the flesh, you're drawing as a source for your life way too much of what you are getting through the world and through yourself. And what you have to do is choose to leave that behind and begin to practice and begin to walk in the things that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in your life. He wants to teach you the Word of God. He was sent to us as a teacher, right? He's wanting to lead you. That means as you are prompted to do things that are out of the Scriptures, do them. Walk in them. Immediately give yourself to them. Find out the things that God actually wants us to be doing with our lives and do those things. And let me say this, and the more you cut the world system out of your life, in drawing your life and drawing your information and drawing your you know what you live by out of the world and instead draw it out of the Word. Let me say this. You will never grasp nor walk in the power of the Holy Spirit if you're not in the Word. Can I get an amen? Is that right or wrong? Amen. If you're not walking in this Word, if you're not reading this Word, if you're not getting this Word into your life, you will never understand what it means to bear fruit in a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this. I'm not talking about just a mere academic study of the Word of God. I'm talking about you get into the Word, but you turn to God and you say, Father, I'm opening myself up to You. Please teach me by Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, what I'm wanting is not just information. I'm wanting life. And as you get into the flow of the life of the Holy Spirit, you're going to begin to watch fruit produced in your life. By the way, the word here that's used here says the fruit of the Spirit, that's actually in the singular in the Greek. It's not plural. And that just simply means this. I believe all these fruits are present in the life of any believer. I really do. I believe that God will manifest them. I believe that God will show them forth. But I believe we've got to learn to walk in a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, and begin to get into that flow of His life as He seeks to minister to us. Now, the second thing we see here is that it is the fruit. And the second phrase is of the Spirit. Guys, it is the Spirit of God that we're going to have a relationship with in order to have this. The fruit is of Him. He is the one who gives us the power and the ability to produce this kind of fruit. The way that fruit is produced is that God Himself empowers us to see this. Yet, here's the interesting thing, and you always have this paradox in Scripture. We are commanded to do things, and yet God says He will do things in our lives. And that means this, you are commanded to love, you are commanded to have joy, you are commanded to have peace in this world. At the same time, God says by the power of His Spirit, He will give you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So what you're actually doing is this, you are seeking to obey the Scriptures. But as you seek to obey the Scriptures, you're not saying, okay, I'm going to grit with everything that's in me and try to obey the Scriptures. Instead, what you need to do is say, God, I want to have a relationship with You. And out of love for You, Lord, I want to do the things that please You. And God, please empower me to be able to do those things. And Lord, any activity, anything that I'm doing that is hindering me from experiencing Your life, remove it from me, Lord. And you know what, Lord? Don't leave me alone until it's gone. Now, saints, there is really a mystery to some of this, but I think it's a mystery and it's not a mystery. It's learning to walk by the Spirit. It's learning to walk in relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. Let me just give you the testimony of a local tree in our area, okay? I figured the best place to find out how fruit works is to ask a local tree, right? Y'all look at me like I've lost my mind. Maybe I have. By the way, Here's something just real quick. Do you realize that the New Testament speaks of the fruit that comes out of our lives as being the work of God? Did you know that even in the Old Testament economy, that was the same thing? In Hosea chapter 14:8, it says this, "From me comes your fruit." And it is Jehovah God speaking. Guys, the way to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life is to have a God-transformed, God-entranced, God-seeking, God, immerse yourself in a relationship with Almighty God. And you will watch the Lord begin to grant you an ability to change. He will grant you the ability to walk in these things. Now, I went and talked to a local tree. And the local tree told me these things about fruit. So, number one, he said, "Pastor John, first, fruit producing is based on what kind of tree you are. You don't go to a lemon tree and find apples. You don't go to a pear tree and find lemons. You go to the kind of tree that it is, and that tree will naturally, because of its life that is inside of it, produce that kind of fruit." Now, that's a very important point we probably ought not to skip over real fast. If the only fruit you see coming from your life is the works of the flesh, I would suggest to you something. With everything that's in you, begin to check out your salvation to make sure you actually know Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that don't know the Lord Jesus. They're religious. They go to church. They do all the church stuff. But they have never come to the point of God bringing conviction on their heart, them being brought to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And let me say this, if you don't have any of the fruit of the Spirit coming out of your life, the problem may be this, you're the wrong kind of tree. Because until you get changed as to what kind of tree you are, all you're going to do is bear fruit that is consistent with the life that's inside of you. I remember talking to my son one time, it was actually the night that Josiah was saved. And at age 18, he came in and he was frustrated. And he was talking to me about all this stuff, and I used probably one of the dumbest analogies I've ever used in my life. And yet the Spirit of God used it to bring conviction to Josiah and actually brought him to the point where he received Christ. I looked at him and I said, "Josiah, why does a dog act like a dog?" And he looked at me like, "Dad, I'm talking to you about serious things. And here you are asking me why a dog acts like a dog." He said, "I don't know, Dad. Why does a dog act like a dog?" I said, "Because he's got dog life inside of him." He said, "Why does a cat act like a cat?" Now follow me. "Because he's got cat life inside of him." "Why does a horse act like a horse? Why isn't a horse going up to a scratching post, you know, with carpet on it and just kind of doing this and meowing? Because the horse has horse life inside of it." And I said, "Josiah, here's the problem. Right now, the reason you don't see any fruit, right now the reason you are so frustrated about your supposed Christian life is all you've got is you life in you. You don't have God's life in you. You don't know Jesus yet. Because the fruit of your life tells me something completely different." Now, folks, people will fight this because of pride. They will fight this because of an arrogance in their heart that says, "No, I prayed that prayer. I walked that aisle. I signed that card. I lifted my hand." None of that's in Scripture, folks. You come to Christ when God grants you repentance and when God grants you faith, when God gives you the ability to even be able to repent and gives you the ability to even have faith in Jesus Christ. And it is a wonderful, gracious, merciful gift of God. And yet you are to respond to what God initiates. And saints, the problem with a lot of folks is this. They've heard a gospel that doesn't have any law. They have a gospel, but they've never had any conviction of their sin. And what we need to come to is a point to where we come to Christ, and then out of coming to Christ, we are given the life of God, and that is when you will manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because the kind of tree determines the fruit. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Hey, you don't pull figs from thorns, do you?" And he said, the tree will produce the fruit. And so the first thing we may need to look at is this. Are you saved? Do you even know the Lord Jesus Christ? And don't tell me about a prayer. Don't tell me about signing a card. Don't tell me about those things. I'm asking you, is the fruit of your life consistent with someone who has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if it is not, then you've got a major problem. Second thing the tree told me this was this. By the way, Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruits." Did you know that? Did you realize one of the major ways we know whether we're saved or not is the fruit that's coming forth from our lives? Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruits." He said this, "Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Matthew 7, 16 through 18. So folks, the kind of tree you are is going to determine the fruit that comes from your life. Number two. Second, fruit is not produced by self-effort. It is a natural process of the tree. Now, the tree told me this interesting story. He said there were some branches that were going to go out and produce their own fruit. They were really excited about it. They got together and they had a meeting, and they were talking about how to make fruit and how if we really tried real hard, we'd make fruit. And the branches all jumped off the tree and were running around the yard going, "Fruit, fruit, I'm going to make fruit. I'm trying to get fruit." Now, let me ask you, does that sound ridiculous? You're thinking to yourself, "Pastor John, that's not how fruit works." That's interesting because that's what it looks like in a lot of Christian ministries. Rather than getting before God and seeking His face and finding out what God's agenda is, and then setting our lives according to God's agenda, what we're doing is we're busting off of the tree and running around the yard just trying to be fruitful. How many of you have limbs down in your yard? How many of you have an alive limb down in your yard? By the way, nobody does. The moment you cut yourself off from the flow of life from that tree, that's the moment you can't produce anything. And what the tree told me was this, "Pastor John, no matter how hard you try, the moment you separate yourself from a vital relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to produce no fruit whatsoever." And then that tree, because it was a religious tree, by the way, he said, "The Word of God says, abide in me and I will abide in you." And what's wild is when you go through that passage in John chapter 15, it says God wants us to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. But that only happens, saints, as we remain in vital contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. That will only happen in a tree as that vine remains in vital contact, drawing its life from the tree itself, not trying to produce life of its own. Now, I know the question that will come up invariably, "Pastor John, how do you do that?" Number one, you got to know Jesus Christ. So I would encourage you, and it's amazing how many times I'm going to tell you to go back, check your salvation, make sure you really know Jesus. Biblically know Jesus. Not the carefree, ridiculous evangelism that we've developed in our day that leaves out the law, that leaves out conviction, that leaves out brokenness, that leaves out repentance for the most part. Go back and find out what the gospel actually says and see if your life matches up to it. But then after that, it's this. Stay in contact with the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus said, "I'm the vine." Maintain a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, you'll produce fruit. Do you realize all the branch is an extension of the tree growing? And that branch only remains alive as it remains tied to the tree itself. And the tree itself will provide all that's necessary for that branch to grow and to create fruit. And saints, what I'm saying is this. Boy, I want to ask a question so bad and ask for a show of hands, but I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But I'm going to ask you this. How many of you had a quiet time this week, consistently? How many of you got up and the first thing you did that day was you got into God's presence and you got into God's Word and you wanted it to be vital? You wanted it to be important. In fact, it is the most important thing you do every day, which, by the way, it is. Ray Comfort he's asked for shows of hands all over the United States, asking this simple question: how many of you have had a quiet time every day this week? You took the time to actually get into the Word of God. And when you got into the Word of God, it was your desire to meet with God and have that kind of relationship where there was an ebb and flow of life coming into you through that relationship with God. Ray said it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10%. Now, you want to know why there's no fruit? Because there's no vital connection with the vine. There's no vital life sharing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, there's no fruit. Third thing this tree told me. The branches of the tree do not, get down and run around. They remain tied into the tree. They participate in the life of the tree. They abide in it. And as a result, fruit is produced. Now, saints, this is really the last point. And we're going to talk about what it means to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Starting next Sunday, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit is love. We're actually going to look at three sections of this. I'm breaking them up into threes. The first three fruits are actually more attitudinal fruit. It's kind of an attitude that we take about in life and we experience as a result of having a relationship with God. The second three deal more with relational fruit, with people. And then the last three deal with, and I'm trying to remember the term for it, but I believe the last three are, and we'll get to that when we hit the last three. Okay. Just blame that one on the poison ivy and the fact that I want to scratch myself to death right now. But folks, the grace of God is this. The power of the Holy Spirit is there. The person of the Holy Spirit is there. He wants to produce His fruit in you. But saints, the fruit is not produced by you writing down what all the fruits are and trying your hardest to do them. The fruit is produced as you have a vital love relationship with Almighty God through Jesus. Whoops. Keith just died. But you have that vital relationship with God. You have this relationship where you are growing. You have this relationship where you are getting into the Word and the Word is getting into you. You have this relationship where you are seeking God's face and you love the Lord. You love Him as a person. You love knowing Him. You love being with Him. You love seeking Him. And out of that vitality that is going on as a result of that, fruit is produced. Saints, think about it. What exactly does the branch do? It puts forth the leaves, then it looks at the sun and draws all that it can from the sun. And I would encourage you to possibly realize for you and me, that's S-O-N, not S-U-N. And it draws that marvelous process that comes from focusing on the sun. And then the other thing it does is it's drawing vital water and nutrients out of that soil. And as a result, fruit is produced because there is, and this is so important, excess life in the tree. If you're living on a survival mode Christianity, if you're living on a, I get the word from Pastor John on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I can guarantee you almost half of you don't get it on Sunday night. And I try to come to Sunday school, and out of those three meals, I'm going to grow. You're not going to grow. If you only had three meals in the course of a week, you would be on survival mode. In fact, you'd start losing weight, and you'd eventually die. Folks, we need to focus all of our attention on knowing and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting, Jesus talks about the parable of the soils, doesn't it? There was good soil. You need to make sure that the soil of your heart is broken up. Break up the fallow ground of your heart that may be sown with sin and sown with rocks and sown with thorns and has the world in it and it's not just busted up and it's not broken before God. I can promise you this. If you have a broken heart before God about sin and you are in a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control is going to come out of your life in abundance. But realize this. There is never one piece of fruit ever produced on a tree unless that tree has excess life. If that tree is just trying to survive, if that tree is just trying to keep branches on it because it's barely making it from moment to moment, if that tree is struggling to keep even two or three leaves alive because it's not got a whole lot of life flowing into it, that tree will never bear fruit. And I can promise you this by the authority of the Word of God. If you don't have an excess of life, you know what I mean by that? That relationship with Jesus is vital. That relationship with Jesus is alive. It's awesome. You're in the Word. The Word's getting into you. Your life is being given over to the things of God. When you have that excess life, and that life is flowing through you, you will see fruit. Now, I realize I haven't given you an easy 1, 2, 3 and you got fruit. I'll give you an easy 1. Restore your relationship with Jesus. Make sure it is as vital as it possibly can be. Make sure that you know Him better than anyone on this planet. Make sure that your heart is given more to pleasing and honoring and glorifying Him than anything else in this world. And as you have that relationship with Him, and that relationship is experienced through God's Word, and that relationship is experienced through that relationship with Him daily, I will promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, you will have fruit. Now, I close with this statement. If you do not have that vital relationship with Jesus, you're really not into the Word. You're really not in, your prayer life is anemic at best. Your desire to live by what pleases and honors God is very small. And you have much more of a desire for the things of this world. I will promise you this by the authority of the Word of God. You will not bear fruit. And I don't care how religious you get, you will not bear fruit. Because fruit comes from being tied to the vine, being in vital connection with the vine, and living out of what the vine produces. And saints, for us, relationship with Jesus, relationship with Jesus, relationship with Jesus. And you're saying, but isn't it called the fruit of the Spirit? That's right. Because you know who the Spirit wants to glorify? Anybody tell me? Scripture tells me who the Spirit wants to glorify. Who is it? Jesus. The Spirit wants to glorify Jesus. The Spirit wants to help facilitate fellowship between you and the Lord Jesus. The Spirit wants to facilitate in any way possible the very character of Christ showing forth from you. And saints, it's my prayer and it's my desire in the days and the weeks to come that my relationship with Jesus is going to get 100 times better than it ever has been. And that in the process of that, and by the way, that's going to happen through the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that as that happens, that by the grace of God and to the glory of God, fruit is going to be produced in my life. And then hopefully, saints, what's awesome is this, that we as a body of believers would start going around this community handing out fruit, sharing the gospel, but also handing out that beautiful fruit that has grown in our lives. And I pray that because of it, when people start tasting the fruit, when they start seeing our good works, they will begin to glorify our Father in heaven and want to know what in the world or who in the world is our God that He's doing this work in our hearts and our character and our lives. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I just want to thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy, Lord. I hope something I said today, something that You allowed to flow through me, Lord, is of use to the saints. Lord, I just pray that Your grace would abound to us, Lord, that we would draw near to You. We would want You. We would desire You. We would long for You, Father. Oh, Lord, may we turn away from all the things that tantalize our eyes. May we turn away from all the things that titillate our senses. And may we find ourselves completely engrossed and enamored and head over heels in love with Jesus Christ. Lord, not just by an emotion, but by a choice, by a consistent choice, day after day after day. God, open Your Word to us. Open Yourself to us, Lord. I know every day You're longing to meet with us. God, may there begin to be a desire within us to meet with You. And oh God, may we begin to see in our lives excess life finding itself producing fruit. And oh God, may that fruit be to the glory and the honor and the praise of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You might be glorified in it all, Father. I ask it in the precious name of Jesus, Your Son. Amen.